Sunday morning because we knew we'd be out of that book for a while, and the Lord allowed us to do that. But I want to get back in there, and I want to kind of recap what's going on in that text and deal with some more things going along further with it. The reason we're in the book of Acts, the reason the Lord led me in this direction and really impressed on my heart to get on this is this is what you would consider, I guess, the beginning of the church age. It's an early part of the church, what they're going through. The first message I preached out of Acts chapter 1 was a new beginning. And in some ways, for a lot of people in this building, I think if you were honest with yourself, you're having a new beginning in your Christian life as of 2020. A lot of things have changed. There's been a reviving. There's been a resurrection. There's been some change in what was going on. It's not the humdrum, boring, walk through the motions, call it church. It's a life with Jesus Christ in it. And I can tell you, if your Christian life is boring, you may not have Jesus Christ in it. Jesus Christ is life. He didn't come that we might have life, but that we'd have it more abundantly. That's the Jesus Christ we're talking about. Here in the book of Acts, we find that he has ascended in chapter 1 back into heaven, but he sent a comforter. In Acts chapter 2, the beginning of the chapter, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And boy, we've preached many times over the last several Wednesday nights of the importance of being filled with the Spirit. I know different commentators that say Ephesians 5:18, where it says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit," may be one of the most important verses in your Bible if you're a Christian. You understand that you can't be in the will of God and not be filled with the Spirit. Let's not belittle what Jesus is. Let's not belittle what the Holy Ghost is. He's a somebody. It's not a thing, and it's not something to get nervous about when we mention it. If you're born again, the Holy Ghost of God's living inside your heart. But here in Acts chapter, well, we go to Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4, we get to Acts chapter 5. Again, we have Ananias and Sapphira, his wife. And we dealt with, they were holding back on God. And we preached that morning, are you holding back on God? And I wondered this week, if you were honest between you and God, because he knows, did you hold back on God this week? I want to pick up the beginning of this chapter and read through verse 16. And then we'll give you what the Lord's laid on our heart. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, it does not mention, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? This is important to me, the way he mentions it here, because I want to be clear, he fooled the people. The people thought he had done something real special. If you came inside here right now and told me that you sold your car this week for $5,000 and you wanted to give all the proceeds to the church, I would have no proof to say otherwise. You could have sold it for $6,000. You could have sold it for $7,000. The importance here was that they may have fooled men, but they didn't fool God. And in your Christian life, you may have fooled men. You may be currently fooling men, and they could think something of you that's not really you. That allowed the Holy Ghost to keep back part of the price of the land. Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. I'd hate to be in those shoes, wouldn't you? Verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Hey, mom and dad, you don't need to be someone different at church than you are at home. You're not lying to everybody else. You're lying to God when you do that. God knows the real you when you walk inside of his house. Don't put on a face. Then Peter said to her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Verse 12. That's where I'm going to spend most of my time this evening, between 12 and 16. "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." We know a whole lot's already went on Solomon's porch here in Acts. Remember, that's where they were at whenever that man who had been lame from his birth over 40 years was standing up there with Peter and John, and the people were looking at them like they had done something. And remember, Peter was real quick to say, "Hey, Jesus is why this happened to this man." In your Christian life, when good things happen in your life, you ought not act like you had much to do with it. When people see that, you need to say, "Hey, Jesus did that." When your lost loved one gets saved, don't you say, "Well, I've been praying and I witnessed." Yeah, you did, but you didn't save them. Jesus did that. We need to be clear at Fellowship Baptist Church in your home that you're always on the page that Jesus gets the glory. At this church, Jesus gets the glory. There's nobody in here who built this thing. There's nobody. He asked Job, he said, "Where was any of your kind when I spoke everything into existence?" God made it very clear from the beginning of times that he made everything, then man. He didn't need our help. But he lets us be a help. "By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them." Verse 16, "There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits." Now, before we read this last line, I want you to think about what this says. All the towns around them brought sick folks, and they brought those who had unclean spirits. Y'all remember the man, the maniac of the Gadarenes? He had some unclean spirits inside of him. I'm talking about, remember the boy who was foaming at the mouth and tearing him, and the disciples couldn't do anything about it, but they needed Jesus. And Jesus showed up and he could fix the problem. The people who had this, look what happened. "And they were healed," how many? "Every one." I'm so very glad. Hear me, if you come to Jesus tonight, he'll save you. I'm not preaching that you might get in. I don't believe in Calvinist. I'm not Calvinist. That's not biblical. I'm a biblicist. And I believe the Bible tells me that every one of them that came to Jesus with an ailment got help. And every single person in this building tonight, if you'll come to Jesus, you'll get help. Here's what I see in this text. Verses 1 through 11, dealing with two people that weren't real. Oh, but verses 12 through 16, it was the real deal. It was a real thing. I want to preach on the real deal. The real thing. Look with me if you would. Ananias and Sapphira. The sin that they committed was not so much that they did not give all of this. I find no requirement here for them to have done what they did. But here's why I believe they did what they did. Look at chapter 4, the last two verses. "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land," what did it tell us down here later on in chapter 5 they sold? Land. "Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." They didn't walk up to the apostles and say, if you'll tell me what you need help of, and I agree with you, I'll help pay for it. No, no, no. Barnabas sold it, brought it to God, and said, you entrust your men to take care of it. Do you know when you put your money in the offering plate, you do that in a lot of ways? You take your tithe and you stick it in the offering plate. Or you bring an offering, which is an increase over the 10%. And you stick it in the offering plate and you say, God, I'm trusting that this is going to go for your... You've put people in a position to take this and use it. They saw this. They saw the attention Barnabas got. And they liked it. And they wanted in on it. And they saw how he was magnified. And they said, oh, we could do that. So they came to him and said, we sold this land, and this is how much we sold it for, and we're giving all the money. You know what the problem was? They said, I want some of that glory. I want some of that attention that they're getting. I want some of that for me. You see self creeping in here real quick? Does this sound familiar, Isaiah chapter 14? Lucifer standing back saying, I'm already one of the most beautiful creations there ever was. I have pipes in my chest. I play music. I glow. Lucifer means light reflector. People see me. But you see the glory that the Son of God's getting over there? I want some of that. The attention he's getting? I want some of that. I hope that you never do a thing for God because you want the attention. I hope you never do anything for God because you want somebody to see you. Hey, preachers. It's real easy to fall off in that. It's real easy to fall off in that self-promotion. People start liking your Facebook post and you think you're somebody. You don't even know who they are. If you needed help from them, you couldn't find them because you don't know them. And you think you're somebody. I'm a nobody, but I met somebody. And Barnabas understood, I'm a nobody, but I met somebody. And they understood that there was a real first. Here's something that they didn't have that the others did in verse 12. They had a real relationship. Do you have a real relationship with God? I'm not talking about a head knowledge of knowing who he is. I know who Donald Trump is. But we don't have a relationship. I respect his position. He is the president. They don't make us have a relationship. I agree with some of his policies. I agree with some of the stuff he's done. But that don't mean I have a relationship. I could use many other people about that. I know one... Different athletes and stuff. I've agreed with that. There's different guys. What's the guy's name? The Dirty Jobs guy. Mike Rowe. I've heard him say some stuff before. I'm like, man, I agree with what you're saying. You understand sometimes that the devil believes there's one God and they tremble. But that don't make them saved. I'm not asking you if you have a knowledge of who Jesus is. I'm not even asking you if you respect some of the stuff about Jesus. I'm asking you, do you have a real relationship with Jesus? Here's some things that shows me that Ananias and Sapphira did not have a real relationship with him, and some things that show me that the apostles did have a real relationship with him. Look in verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. First things first, if you get church people agreeing, God's in it somewhere. Okay? That's the first place in. Look over in Acts chapter 4, verse 29. And now, Lord, now this is when the apostles have been afflicted. They have come together. They are praying. Look at what they pray for. Verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal. And to signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. What's going on in verse 12 is they had a relationship with the one who could answer prayer. And they prayed to the one who could answer prayer. And guess what? He answered. Do you know how you got a relationship with Jesus? You can pray and he'll answer. The Bible tells us that in James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I see the word effectual there. That means there is a relationship between you and the one in which you're praying to. There's something going on between you two. If you want a real relationship with Jesus, you're going to have to know who he is. Has there ever been a time in your life that you started praying and got prayed through? You got to have a relationship if you want prayer. I see here also the true Christians knew who to give God the glory. Ananias and Sapphira, it was absolute vainglory. They want it for themselves. They want the attention like Barnabas got. The real Christian wants to give the glory to God only. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. When Peter and when people started even looking at him and John and saying over there in Acts, I think it's chapter 4, they're saying, oh, look what he did. Look what he accomplished. He said, whoa. I didn't do this. The God of heaven did this. Jesus Christ is the one who did these works. Every single time you'll find consistency of the church throughout the book of Acts, when anybody else tries to give the church the true, say, the real deal, the real Christians want to have a real relationship with God, when they try to give them some glory and then some credit, they always let that glory reflect right off them and go right up to him. There was a real relationship between them. I see also, look in verse 14. Verse 13 says, and the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. There was no one else up there on the porch with them, Solomon's porch, but they were glorying what they were doing and glorying what was going on. Verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Now, when I preach these next 2 points, I want you to understand something. The normal church we have in America is not biblical church. We want to have a biblical church here. And in a biblical church, when you have real relationships with Jesus Christ, when you have a real relationship with the one who can get things done, you're going to see a real response from people. Look what happens in verse 14. And believers were the more added to the who? Lord. I believe this was used appropriately and specifically to say added to the Lord. He wants us to understand this was the real deal. No, they didn't come sit on a church pew and tithe and say they had something they really didn't. No. These believers were true believers and they had given themselves and they were added into the body of Christ. Ephesians tells there is one body, there is one Lord, there is one Spirit. It's very clear that we all work through the one Lord, and they were all added to that Lord. These were real believers. They were one with the body of Christ. There were no false professions going on here. There was response to the word. Look at Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Faith cometh by and hearing by. You know how these believed? The word of God. Do you know how people believe today? The word of God. Do you know how God uses you today? You're going to have a real relationship. And when you have a real relationship with a real God, you'll see real results, real things, real response, real things will be going on. This makes me think of Acts chapter 2, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I'm here to tell you tonight, I believe with every bone in my body that God could add to this church daily. I believe that God could see people saved every single day. But if you want to grow with God, you're going to have to go for God. And you're going to have a real relationship with God. You're going to have a real response coming out that only God can do. And then lastly, and I'll be done, here's where I'll spend the rest of my time. There were real results coming from this real response. Let's read verse 15 and 16. And now don't get yourself off in a spot like we're guilty of doing oftentimes, where we read through the Bible like it's just a book. When I read these next two verses, I want you to think about this happened. This really, really happened. Verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets. Now, the reason they brought the sick into the streets, look, it says insomuch that. It's referring back to verse 14. These people believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed in His ability. They believed in Him not just to be their Savior, but He believed in them to be their Lord. They believed in Him wholeheartedly. They put all their trust on Him because they believed in Him, verse 15, so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. They had so much faith in God, they said, we just want the shadow of God's man on. When was the last time you brought someone who was sick and without God to God's house just to get under the presence of God's man? Verse 16. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Now, it does not say, and they got better. No, no, no. They were healed. Do you remember that night whenever you went to God's house and you had a sickness called sin? And that very moment, God saved you from all of it. Do you remember that time you was praying, you came to God and you really needed help and you got it? You know why you got that? You had a real relationship, which brought on a real response. And then that brought on real results. It is time to quit putting the blinders on and trying to fake God. You cannot fake the real thing. I heard a statement this past week, people asking of a church, let me make sure I say it's right. They asked this preacher what it was his opinion on attractionism versus soul winning. Here's what that meant. There's a belief that if you have a pretty enough property and a big enough place and a good enough music, that all you really need to do is focus on making it better here to attract people to come in rather than going out to them. Where is that in the Word of God? Last time I checked, these apostles wasn't in that room they was praying in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, decorating the curtains, trying to get people to come in. Last time I checked, the Bible says, go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel. When He tells the parable of the 99 and 1, He says that you had to leave the 99 and go after the one and seek for them. You have to leave what you're comfortable in, and you have to go after those who are lost and need God, and seek after them, wanting and desiring that they get a taste of the real deal, the real thing, the God of heaven, not some play game, not attractive men cause it's pretty, but you want them to meet Jesus. And these apostles had a real relationship. The early church had a real relationship. And with the real relationship, they did what God told them to do. And then there was a real response coming in. People were added and people were added. And because they were added, they started doing what God told them to do. And they went out and they took people who needed to meet Jesus and they brought them over here to Jesus. And they were healed every one. That's the real deal. That's what the church is supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's the real thing. When you if you're saved tonight, say amen. You have a job. If you know someone who's lost tonight, say amen. What are we doing about it? Here's what the early church did. They had a real relationship with Jesus, and they understood that Jesus found me in my dirty, rotten state, and I didn't become a sinner because I sinned. I sinned because I was a sinner. I was born that way. I needed God from the day that I was born, and I met Him one day and became my personal Savior, and so He moved in my heart, and then I went out, and I believed who He was, so I went out, and I found somebody else and said, "You need Jesus. Come look at what Jesus can do for you. Hear the words that are preached and are spoken of what Jesus can do for you." And by the preaching of the Word of God, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and that person was healed. Everyone. That's the real deal. That's the real deal. Now, there is one thing I want to add in here, and I'm done. Because I feel like this gets passed over, and me and Preacher Joel is talking about this. He preached the book of Acts, and I don't want to jump over this. A lot of people in our ranks, in the Baptist churches, jump over the fact of the miracles that are wrought and happen in Acts and act like they didn't happen. But no, there were wonders and there were miracles and signs that people are still trying to do today, and we're out of that dispensation. This is a transitional book. I'm not saying this stuff didn't happen. The Bible says it did, so it did. Can I get an amen right there? But let me tell you why it happened then and why it ain't happening right now. But I'll tell you what God gave us now. Before I say this, I want you to remember, we live in the greatest day there has ever been to be a child of God. And things got better in 2020. You say, why is that? People got uncomfortable. What do you have in your life that's certain right now? What do you have that's secure in your life right now? Well, if you're lost and you're listening to me, you ain't got nothing. The economy's not secure. One person says it's tanking, the other says it's not. Our government's not secure. They couldn't agree on the color of pencils. Nothing's secure. What's going to go on tomorrow? Hey, your health is not safe and secure. Everything has been moved to the side. Everything is, if you want something that's safe and secure, you're only going to find it in one source. We live in the greatest days ever been. But look at this. The Bible tells us here, God, you have the whole Word of God. At this point in time, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Revelation, most, if not all, of the New Testament, I'm not perfect on my timeline, has not been pinned down. It's been written because it was before ordained before the foundations of the earth. The Word has always been. It just wasn't pinned down yet. Y'all remember that, right? There's only one author of the Bible, but there's about 40 penmen of the Bible. So at this point in time, they don't have the word that would be used is the whole canonized scripture. But look at this. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Here's what would happen. If you did what Ananias and Sapphira did, and you went, you heard the Word of God preached, I may not have any idea you did what you did, but that Word is going to start telling you deep down, hey, buddy, you're a sinner. You did wrong. You don't have the real thing, and you need the real thing. You remember that? Not anybody here actually remember what the preacher preached and how they got saved? I'm seriously curious. Would you raise your hand and say you remember the message that was preached the night that you got first? How many people here got saved in church? Okay, of those people, how many of you could raise and say you remember the message that was preached that night? There's one, two. I ain't got no idea what he preached. But I know that word, it was real quick. and it's real powerful. And it divided down inside me and it said, guess what? You're a sinner. And you need God. You know what you have at your disposal? You need a real relationship with God. When you get that real relationship, then you need to do what God told you to do. You know what you need to do? Go up and tell somebody, say, has anybody ever took this Bible and showed you how you can get to heaven? Let me ask you inside here. Is there anybody inside here who's never been taken a Bible? And be honest, I'm curious. You've never had someone take a Bible and show you how you can know you're going to heaven. Anybody? Everybody's had that done for you? Well, I'll let you know real quick that I have soul won before and I have witnessed before. And there's a lot of people right here in Henderson County who've never had a Bible brought to them and showed them how they can know they're going to heaven. The reason that we don't need these signs and miracles right now is because we got something that's so powerful, it can get the job done. God allows such things in Acts because they don't have the canonized word of God at this point. They could have signs and miracles. Hebrews 2:3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and the gift of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Here's another point in your Bible that makes it very clear. Hey, these things did happen, but we don't need them because we have the whole word. 1 Corinthians 13:10. But when that which is perfect is come. Would y'all agree that the Bible is perfect? When that is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. God said, we don't need that anymore because we have the perfect word of God at our disposal. Hey, this Bible is the real deal. The word is all that we need. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Read this other night. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You need a real relationship with God. And if you're not saved tonight, you don't have one. Maybe you've had head knowledge for a long time. Maybe I'm talking to an adult right now. And maybe you've been in church a lot. And you've had a head knowledge of God for a long time. You understand that Jesus came. You understand he was crucified. But you've never got a relationship with Jesus. You know, you're still lost. You can fake it like Ananias and Sapphira, but guess what happened to them? Death. For the wages of sin is what? Death. And without Jesus, without the relationship with Jesus, that's where you're going to end up. You need a real relationship. You get that real relationship, boy, then you'll start seeing a real response. People will hear that word. They'll come to that word. Do you know people are looking for something consistent? He pulled me up out of the muck and the mire and set me on a rock and established my goings. That rock is Jesus. If you want something consistent in your life, the only thing you're going to find it in is Jesus. There's not a political party. There's not an amount of money. Anybody here ever got a raise before? That was real cool for a little bit, wasn't it? But it wasn't long till you wanted another one. I've never needed a raise from Jesus. I got all of him the moment I got saved. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That means everything I could need, Jesus can supply. I'll supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. Isn't that what he said he'd do? So understand, you need a real relationship. You'll get a real response. Then you're going to see some real results. Boy, if you get a relationship with God and you start doing what God commands you to do, you'll see results. If you got a lost loved one, you know God can save them. Oh yeah. Hey, I want you to imagine that one person you give up on. Anybody here gave up on somebody? Can't even imagine it. Can't even imagine it. You know God can save them. God saved you, he can save them. You'll see real results. I'm not talking about the fake thing. I'm not talking about a bunch of people in the pews. I'm talking about a bunch of people with Jesus inside their heart, inside the pews. That's what I want. I want you to go to heaven with me. Would there be someone here tonight? Maybe I'm talking to you, and maybe you don't have the real deal. You can be like Ananias and Sapphira, and you can lie to everybody else, but the problem is you're not lying to them. You're lying to Him. You need the real deal. You need the real thing. You need Jesus inside of your heart. You need a relationship with Him, and He'll be the only thing you can bank on. When everybody else leaves, boy, my papaw, he was a real Christian. Y'all, anybody here would attest to say that Jimmy Justice was a true Christian? Would you attest to say he was a great pastor? He left us. Then was he a great husband? Great father? He's gone. You put your faith in a man, he'll be gone one day. Jesus didn't go nowhere. I hope that I'm hitting home with somebody tonight. I really feel there's somebody lost in this building right now. And I tell you what, in my heart, I believe it's an adult. And I don't think you got the real deal. And I want you to get the real deal. God's impressed my heart on this for 3 straight days now. I've prayed diligently over this, and I believe there's somebody here needs to get saved. And I want you to go to heaven with me. And I want you to get the real thing. Not hanging on to a profession, not hanging on to a time. You remember doing, no, I'm talking about a time when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and He moved inside your heart. If you don't get a real relationship with Him, you ain't got the real deal. My Bible says that today is the day of salvation. If you stand to your feet tonight, no one's coming to the piano. I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray. Would there be somebody who'd be honest with God and honest with yourself, and you'd come down this altar tonight and you say, I want the real deal. I want the real thing. I want to know I'm on my way to heaven. Would you be honest with God tonight and say you need to be saved? Would you come down here? Would be anybody in the building, just be honest and say, I've never been, all heads bowed, eyes closed. You're praying if you're saved. Would there be somebody say, I don't know that I'm saved. I wouldn't let I think so go one more day in my heart. Yeah. There'd be anybody in the building that just come down here and say, I want to know that I know that I know I got the real deal tonight. Maybe there'd be some people here tonight that say they want to be the real Christian they're supposed to be. And they want to do something. They want to grow with God, and they want to go with God. They want to win souls for the Lord. They want to see people's lives change for the Lord. You want to be busy about your Father's business. Maybe you can come find a spot in this altar tonight. It is Wednesday night prayer meeting, and say, God, would you help me be better for you? Would there be anybody in that spot tonight? These altars are open. Before I pray, anybody here tonight to just raise your hand up real quick and say, I'm lost, preacher. I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven, but I sure want to be. Would you stick your hand up? I'm going to pray for you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else in here to say, I don't know that I'm saved, but I sure would like to be. Would you raise your hand for me? I'm going to pray for you. I can't save you, but I can pray for you.